Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews. A chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. My guest today is Jerome Peterson. Jerome has just released a fabulous novel, Thumb Flagging. It certainly took me back to the halcyon days of my youth. Good afternoon, Jerome, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you.
Let's start with a little bio. Who is Jerome Peterson?
Well, I come from Rockford, Illinois, and right now I'm living in Sonora, California, with my wife and my dog Hazel, and Sonora's in Sierra Foothills, which is about 120 miles east of San Francisco. I work for a park and recreation district, and I'm a middle-aged guy, and that's about it, I guess.
None of us are getting any younger.
No, we're not. That's true, with each day.
Right. I've got to admit that when I read Thumb Flagging, it took me back to the late 60s and my own adventures.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking was my favorite method of transport. I take it you've done a little bit of it yourself.
Yes, I have. When I was younger, I hitchhiked quite often with my friend, who was like a real-life Willie in the story, and we hitchhiked all around the Southwest. And then, of course, I did make the trip across country by myself. And I have actually Thumb Flagging contains about two-thirds of the story contains actual experiences.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is a good reason for listeners to rush out and buy the book, because it really is quite splendid.
Well, thank you.
I have a funny story for you.
Sure.
I grew up in England, although...
I can tell by your accent.
No, I was going to say, you're the guy with the accent.
Yeah.
I grew up in this small village. I think it had something like a population of 300.
Oh.
And my parents owned the village pub, which, the pub and the church were the two focal points of the entire village.
Wow. Quite the contrast, huh?
Right. although the local priest guy, he would actually drop by the pub for a pint of ale and try and drum up business for Sunday's adventure.
Really?
Anyway, the pub itself was on the main road. The village kind of, was off on a side road.
Uh-huh.
So everyone knew my parents, and consequently, everyone knew me. Well, if I wanted to go to the local town, which was in one direction, or I wanted to go to Oxford, which was the nearest city, that was the other direction, it would take me, on average, less than 30 seconds to get my first ride. You know, I'd just stand there, thumb out. Someone would be heading out from the village and go, "Oh, Simon, you need a ride?"
That was fun.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. Would the priest ever pick you up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I got another priest story. I mean, I have lots of stories. I grew up, I went to school through the English grammar school system. It was an all-boys school. It was brutal. And school actually went for 5.5 days every week. We had to go to school on Saturday mornings. Now, no one's ever heard of that in the U.S.
Yeah, really.
And I had an English teacher, Anthony Hogg. I didn't much care for the guy. He certainly didn't care for me. we kind of kept each other at arm's length. I think it was 95. My father died, and I had to make the trek back to England for the funeral. And I was absolutely amazed. The gentleman who performed the funeral service was none other than Anthony Hogg.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I talked to him before the service because we recognized each other. You're right. Just wanted to make sure he wasn't going to give me, a 500-word essay or anything.
Yeah.
He told me that, once the all-boys school, grammar school system had been abandoned, I could see no reason to teach. I became a man of the cloth. One of those small world deals. Anyway, yeah. back to you, because this is more about you than me. Thumb flagging or hitchhiking seems to have gone the way of the drive-in. Why is that? Is it inherently dangerous? Has the world changed?
Of course the world has changed, and people are quite leery nowadays because everything is more exposed, you know, as far as psychos or whatever. But in my research, I have found a lot of sites on the internet that deal with hitchhiking, and that people are just quite avid about hitchhiking. Not so much in the United States, but, you know, in Europe and even in Australia in places. You do see less and less people actually with road gear, you know, actually doing the hitchhiking thing from, you know, point A to point B with their livelihood on their back, so to speak. But personally, I think that the cycles aren't so much out wandering around in their cars, you know, looking for a naive person to pick up, but they're behind the computer screen and searching out people on the web rather than on the road.
One of the things I recall from the late 60s and very early 70s was, you know, my time on the road. And, you know, as I recall, I survived with virtually no money, but never managed to go hungry. There was always someone that had a beer and someone else that had a joint.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Is that your remembrances of the period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were. You know, like as far as the danger aspect, I got picked up by some very leery rider, you know, drivers. But yet, on the other hand, the good rides far outweighed the scary moments. I mean, you always have the scary moments of being, you know, out there waiting, you know, for a ride, and the ride's never going to come. But yet, you always got picked up by somebody that had something to drink, you know, or even a sandwich. And there were times where people even kind of felt sorry for me and gave me money. So, you know, and then I hitchhiked even with a dog, and they would pick me up because of my dog. And so that always was an icebreaker there, you know.
Yeah, actually, that is part of the book. You talk about Jay Bird and his dog. Is that based on some real experience?
Yes.
I'm assuming it is.
Yes, it is. And the dog that I name Nanook, that was an actual dog that I had, and she was part Siberian Husky and part Coyote. And she was, you know, at times I thought she was half human, because she did kind of talk to me in a dog kind of way, you know, how dogs kind of have their own little language. But yet she did hitchhike with me across country, and it was quite the experience with her.
I've got to admit, I never thought of that angle, but you really feel that, you know, having a dog with you is a plus. It kind of makes people think you're a better person, if you will, a more trustworthy person.
I kind of think so, you know, and it also depends on the dog. You know, because, I mean, if you see a guy hitchhiking with a pit bull or something,
right.
You know, or some huge dog, I don't think you're going to get many rides. But my dog, she had beautiful markings. She was black and white, you know, something like out of a storybook. So a lot of people saw her and, oh, pretty dog. And they did probably think I was, had some kind of responsibility because the dog was healthy, you know, and so on, and friendly. But yet, on the other hand, some people, you know, drew back and probably didn't pick me up because I had a dog, you know, because
right.
They didn't want their car dirty, or they thought the dog was vicious or something like that.
Yeah, kind of a double-edged sword.
Sure, sure.
Is Thumb Flagging your first foray into the wonderful world of books?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's the first one.
I'm probably a little different from most people that read books. I tend to look at things that other people don't. You know, before I open a book, I look at the cover.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, it's a well-known saying that, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. But I actually like the cover. And as soon as I saw it, I went, oh, I just know I'm going to like this book.
Yeah.
But I'm also one of those people that reads the ISBN information and all of that happy stuff. You
uh-huh.
know, the pages that no rational person would read. And well, it's just the way I am. I can't help it.
That's right.
And I came to the page that's the dedication. And the dedication reads, for Steve Woodward and Carolyn Long and all the others who have raised their thumb for a ride. Do you want to explain the dedication?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, first of all, Steve Woodward was a guy that taught me how to hitchhike. and
he's your Willie.
Yeah, Willie is based on him, and he was he was an actual freewheeling guy that he. I met him at the place where I was working, which was Litchfield Park, which is a suburb of Phoenix, Arizona, and we worked in a hotel resort there, and that's where I met him. And we had odd hours at the department we worked in, and so we had like 3 days off. One string, you know, then work 4 days. And so he had all these ideas, and, oh, let's go here, let's go there, you know. And so he kind of got me started on the hitchhiking thing, and we had quite a few adventures together, which, of course, I put in the book. And so I wanted to put him first because he was a great inspiration and motivation for the whole story. And Carolyn Long is my wife, and she was a great motivator and inspirer of the story, and she has her own set of very intriguing stories about hitchhiking. So those two people I wanted to put in the dedication first. And the third part of the dedication is just to all the people that have took to the road, you know, that like the little sense of danger and adventure. And I put that in there because I feel like a lot of hitchhikers have gotten a bad rap, you know, as far as being bums, you know, and dirty bums and, you know, out for to take advantage of people rather than people that just want to see America or Europe or wherever they're hitchhiking and just want to meet other people and learn from other people and just, you know, extend their knowledge and vision to understand things more.
And I think that's a wonderful sentiment. About a year ago, my wife and I were in Calgary, Alberta, and we needed to come back to Mississippi. And my wife, of course, said, "Let's go buy some airline tickets." Well, you know, travel by air is so boring.
Yeah. That's right.
The food's awful.
The food is awful. That's about the only thing you got to look forward to.
Right.
And it's awful.
Yeah, and they charge you an arm and a leg for everything.
Except the peanuts.
Oh, yeah. the stale peanuts. you can get a lukewarm beer at, $10 a glass or something like that. And I said to her, "Oh, no, dear. We are absolutely not doing that." And she said, "Okay, what's your plan?" And I said, "Greyhound bus."
There you go.
And she almost died of fright. It took us, I think it was 4 or 5 days. I mean, it was just splendid. I mean, we went through 3 Canadian provinces,
yeah,
and 7 states. Where we got to meet the strangest people.
Oh, I bet, yeah. Yeah.
Listeners, if you're not up to hitchhiking, consider Greyhound.
Yeah, it's the next best thing.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. And I mean, it was great fun. In fact, the subject comes up quite often, and Jeanette says, "Yeah, it was interesting." I'm not sure she wants to do it again anytime soon, but
yeah. But it was a fond memory.
Absolutely. So, what prompted you to write Thumb Flagging? Where did the idea come from?
My wife and I, we were sitting around just reminiscing, and for some reason, our hitchhiking days came up, you know, when she hitchhiked, and when I hitchhiked, and some of our friends, you know, back then it was kind of the thing to do, and we kind of were talking about it, and I think it was after we watched a movie, too, like a John Wayne movie. And I saw in the, it clicked to me in the movie that like John Wayne took the cat. He was a big cowboy actor, and he took the cattle from Texas to Kansas, and it was a big journey. You know, it was a journey thing. Well, along the way, he ran into all these complications. Could have been the mean guys after him, after the Duke or the Indians. And then he had to deal with all the elements. And his main goal was to get the cattle to Kansas. And he was kind of like the underdog in the movie and everything. So when we were talking about hitchhiking, I thought, well, why couldn't I write a story that you get from point A to point B, and along the way you had all these situations happen to a person. And I thought, well, that's what happens when you hitchhike. And I thought, well, I'll throw into the mix a guy that has a low self-esteem, and he has this confidence problem. And the whole trip, the whole hitchhiking experience will be therapeutic to him and help him along his way, make him a better person, make him a better human being. And along the way, he'll meet all these people, and they'll meet him, and it'll enhance their lives as well as his life. So I thought, why not? You know, and hitchhiking kind of appeals to people. You know, it's like I got picked up by many people that would say, well, geez, I wish I hitchhiked. I wish I could be doing what you're doing. You know, so I just thought of all of that, and I thought, well, why not? It sounds like a good idea. So I dove into it, and the result is Thumb Flagging.
I think it's a splendid book, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's a blog, and it's thumbflagging.blogspot.com.
And do you have lots of thumb flagging stories on there?
No, I just have mostly my profile and other blogs that I follow and the press releases of the book. And I also have our review on the blog as well.
You know what? I'll give you some sage advice. Why don't you stick up a few articles about your real-life experience? I mean, I think those would make for wonderful additions to the blog.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Where can people buy Thumb Flagging? What's your favorite spot to send people?
Well, probably Amazon.com is the easiest one and the most convenient for people. But also on my blog, I've listed many of the websites that Thumb Flagging is available. And I even found in my search that there are sites even in India where Thumb Flagging is available, as well as in Australia and places in England. But Amazon.com and Borders is a good one that I like to send people to.
Okay. I talk to a lot of writers, and most first-time authors think that the biggest hurdle is writing the book. It isn't. It's selling the darn thing, That's the nut that has to be cracked. What are you doing in the way of marketing? Are you doing book signings?
The publisher that I'm with, they're a big help. And as far as book marketing, they have a book marketing coach that gives me ideas periodically of what to do, because this is all new to me, this marketing thing. It's real new. I mean, just let me at a typewriter and I can go to town. But this marketing, I've really had to kind of be educated at it. So I'm doing a lot of things online, like I started Twittering. You know, I you can see me on the Twitter. And I've done some Google alerts for some flagging. I've started, like I said, this Blogspot to expose the book. And, of course, you know, reviewing, getting the book reviewed, that's a big hurdle. But as far as locally, I've contacted the library, and they've been a big help. And a book signing at the library is in the future. And then local bookstores, you know, to try and contact them and to get in with them. But it's an ongoing thing, you know. Just totally exposing the book is hard, but it's you got to keep at it.
It's work, work, work.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just, it gets to be maddening sometimes, but yet, you know, I'm determined.
I was talking to an author yesterday. This gentleman has produced a delightful children's book. You know, it's illustrated. It doesn't have many words. It turns out that the main character in his book is actually his granddaughter, six years old,
yeah.
Madison. And I thought this was the most unique piece of marketing I'd ever heard of. Madison loves to read, and she took her book, because, you know, it's no longer her grandfather's book, it's her book, to her local library, and did a reading of it.
Yeah. How'd that turn out for her?
Oh, just wonderful. I mean, I don't know that they actually sold many copies, but I just thought, oh, what a great line. And, you know, Madison, when she grows up, I know will still cherish this, you know, tiny little book that her grandfather put together.
Yeah.
I think thumb flagging would translate really, really nicely into a movie. Have you given any thoughts to that avenue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it would make a great movie. The characters are rich in it, and some of them are funny. Some of them you can't stand. You know, some you feel sorry for. And I just think it would make a great movie. You know, as American landscape as the backdrop, you know, what beautiful countryside, you know, and all of that. I just think it would make a great movie. I think the soundtrack would be awesome in a movie about thumb flagging.
Oh, so do I. Writing is like crack cocaine. You know, one hit's never enough. Do you have another book planned?
Yes, I do. And it's being edited as we speak. So hopefully within a few months it'll be available as well.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, or is it super secret?
The title of it is called The Haunting of Andrew Sharpay. And It's a different type of story than thumb flagging, but there is a road adventure in the story, but it's more concentrated on relationships and love and spirituality. That's about all I'll say about that.
Okay. All right, I'll put your feet to the fire with another question then.
Okay,
sure. Let's talk the world of publishing. Most first-time authors become pretty darn disillusioned when they start dealing with the world of agents and publishers. You publish under the Eloquent imprint, and I'll admit this is a house I'm not familiar with, and I thought I knew them all. Is this a print-on-demand or a traditional house?
It's a print-on-demand publishing house that deals strictly online. You know, all the business is done online.
Do they offer good support to an author?
Oh, yes. Their support system is just great. And, you know, I'm in constant contact with, like I said, the book marketing coach, press release manager, things like that. They just have all kinds of suggestions and helpful comments to help me along.
I was actually quite impressed with the editing. You must have had a pretty strong team behind you.
Yeah, they do. They have. I was real impressed with the quality as well. And my second novel is going to be edited by them as well. But they do seem to have a good team, as well as the art department, like you mentioned, the cover of Thumb Flagging. I thought that I was really impressed with their design. That was the first design, too, they came up with, was that thumb against the road. And I've had more compliments on that cover. A lot of people ask me, well, is that your thumb? You know, no, that's... it's not. It's not my thumb.
In Thumb Flagging, your main character is J-Bird, or J-Birdie.
Yeah.
His first foray is with Willie, and I think they go to Durango or somewhere. But
yeah.
The second one is to seek out Bob Dylan. Are you a fan of Dylan's?
Oh yeah, I'm a fan of Dylan. Way back when in high school, when I first heard him, I was just so enthralled with his music and his voice and what he had to say.
Dylan, I have to admit, is not one of my favorites, but I do love the music from the era. In fact, I made a point of interviewing all of the people that I loved in the late 60s, early 70s. You know, I come up with these idiot projects, and you know, my wife just rolls her eyes at me. And I've only been turned down once, and that was Donovan.
Oh, no kidding.
No, he made it abundantly clear that he would not do an interview with anyone under any circumstance. I just laughed and moved on. You know, in my mind, he ain't mellow, and he is yellow.
Oh, brother, that's good.
Who are your favorite musicians other than Dylan?
Well, I like James Taylor a lot.
So do I.
And, you know, as far as individual artists, James Taylor, and I like Joni Mitchell.
So do I.
and Bonnie Raitt. I like Bonnie Raitt too, and I do like Al Stewart. I have his, a couple of his albums and so on.
Don't call him if he's in Germany.
Yeah, I know. Don't call him because it'll cost me $90.
I thought my wife was going to kill me.
Well, yeah, I can see why. That's a hefty bill.
Oh, for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Woohoo.
That's something else.
Writers are frequently also readers. Do you read a lot? Do you have any favorite authors?
Yes, I read quite a bit, and I read a variety of subjects. But as far as my favorite authors, I kind of like the classic authors. I like John Steinbeck, Jack Kerouac, and boy, I just drew a blank on the classic authors. But I more modern authors, I like Nicholas Sparks and Stephen King, and I also like the story by Janet Finch, White Oleander. I just love that story, and I've read it twice already. Those are basically the novels. And then I like to read a variety of other books. I read poetry, philosophy books, just to kind of stimulate my thought process.
So you read quite a lot then?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Reading has very much become a lost art in America. You're probably familiar with the Boca Company. They're the folks that assign ISBNs to books.
Uh-huh.
In 2008, about 300,000 new titles were released. That's a lot of stinking books.
Yeah, that is. Wow.
Yep. About 2 months ago, I read a press release from Boca. They had conducted a study, and between age 13 and 60, they determined that only 49% of respondents had actually read a book. Now, if you put that in some kind of perspective, age 13 to 18, likely in school, likely forced to read books, and likely forced to read more than one a year. Boy, that makes for a very depressing statistic for the average adult.
Oh, it sure does. Yeah, and you know, reading is so, it's like another world when you read, because you get involved in the words, in what the words mean, in what the words are saying, and you have all these pictures and visions in your mind when you read. And not only exercises your brain, but it enhances your imagination and your intellect, and you know, keeps you informed. You know, I always try and read the paper, the local newspapers, and it is a sad statistic, you know, that more people don't read,
mm-hmm.
and read slowly too. You know, a lot of people, they just want to read real fast, you know, and something that's really getting popular is this flash fiction, you know, where you write a story that's 25 words or less. and things like that. And here, thumb flagging is like 140,000 words. Well, that one categorizes flash fiction for sure. But, you know, I'm the type of guy that likes to settle in a book and get involved in it, you know, and it actually becomes a part of my life, you know, and I remember characters, you know, and I'll even see people on the street and I'll go, wow, you know, that guy reminds me of Willie, you know, or something like that, you know.
Actually, my average day, I bounce out of bed at about 6 o'clock in the morning, make a big pot of coffee, wake my wife up because she wants her coffee fresh. you know, I'll check my emails, etc. And by about 7:30, I'll pick up a book and tell my wife, I'm going to work now, honey. And I head out to the front porch, you know, sit on my chair and read.
Yeah.
And she doesn't see me again till lunchtime.
Does she ask you, have you been working hard, Simon?
Sometimes. Actually, you know, occasionally I'll come in to refill my coffee cup and she'll make a comment like, oh, coffee break. Our time is just about up, and I'm sure that the automated nags, otherwise known as my producers, are going to be on my case in a couple of minutes. But one last question.
Sure.
Can thumb flagging reemerge from the ashes, like the phoenix? I know I met a lot of interesting people while I was doing it.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I think it can. I think it can emerge, and I think a lot of people can relate with the characters in thumb flagging and the plot. The different kinds of subplots in thumb flagging, I think people can relate with them, and they want to cheer on, you know, they want to cheer Jay Bird on to the end. And I think a lot of people like yourself who were fellow road warriors will just find it delightful and bring back a lot of good memories about when they hitchhiked when they were young. So, yes, I think it can emerge.
Okay. One last plug, your website again.
Okay. Thumbflagging as one word, thumbflagging.blogspot.com.
Okay. Jerome, I really want to thank you for taking time out today to talk with us. It's been delightful. I'm pretty certain that we could likely chat for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah, I could. I'd like to do that, yeah. Put on a pot of coffee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let's, I do wish you every success with thumb flagging.
Thank you.
And I do hope that I'll have the opportunity to beat your... Read your next opus.
Okay, you got it.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News on the Radio. I've been talking to Jerome Peterson, a delightful gentleman who has a wonderful book, Thumb Flagging, and I am sure that we'll all be talking again soon. Goodbye.
That's it.